Morning, everybody. I'd like to go ahead and call the Senate Finance Committee to order. 7 minutes after 9 a.m. We go by the chairman's watch instead of the old clock. Thursday, March 19th, 2009. With me today is my co-chair, Senator Hoffman, Senator Olson, Senator Huggins, and Senator Thomas. Senator Ellis is out of state on state business back in Washington along with the Senate President. So he will not be joining us today. We're going to continue Senate Bill 75 today on the capital budget. We're going to go through three departments this morning: Department of Admin, Military and Veterans Affairs, and then we'll finish up with the Department of Corrections. We will adjourn the meeting this morning and then reconvene it this afternoon. We'll take up at 2:30, which is a little bit of a time change for us, but at 2:30, the Department of Labor and the court system. And then this evening at 5 o'clock, we'll be taking statewide public testimony, and we're scheduled for about 2 hours. We normally break that down by regions around the state, so when we start that, we'll get the schedule out to the members, and you may want to be flexible with your time. So with that, I'd like to go ahead and call the representative from the Department of Admin to come forward. And if you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and then walk us through the appropriations.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Eric Swanson. I'm the Administrative Services Director for the Department of Administration. I also have a number of the department experts here with me to help answer questions about the projects, Mr. Chairman. But I'll start by just going through the list of projects that we do have that works for you. Mr. Chairman, our first project is reference number AMD-47048. This is our statewide system replacement project. We're requesting $76,500,000 of what we refer to as a master lease line of credit fund source. Additional funding for this project is needed to continue the massive undertaking of replacing our Access, which is our state accounting system, and our ACPAY, which is our state payroll system. Both of these systems are nearing the end of their useful lives and need to be replaced while they're still functioning. As you may recall, Mr. Chairman, we have previously had appropriated $41 million for this project. I do have the Division of Finance Director Kim Garnero here with me to help answer any questions that the committee may have about this project.
There's several. Right out of the gate, using the master line of credit, the debt instrument, what would be the impact going forward on the operating budget? And the concern is that we are using a debt instrument versus just an equity purchase.
Mr. Chairman, I did have a conversation with Devin Mitchell again this morning about this financing, the debt manager in the Department of Revenue. And what he tells me is he's calculated that sort of a worst case scenario in terms of what we would be required to have available to retire the debt for this project would be about $2.2 to $3 million in FY11, and then continuing on from that, again, worst case scenario of about $13.3 million of debt retirement needed from FY 2012 through 2018. He described this to me as a worst-case scenario, just insofar as it was a conservative estimate on his part about what the interest rates could do. But that was wanting to present what could possibly be the requirement there.
And then, is there ongoing cost to this, as far as built-in fees outside of the interest we're going to have to pay on this debt?
Mr. Chairman, there would be once we get this the software purchase or some software licensing, and I'd like to ask Ms. Garnero to provide some additional detailed information on that question, if I might.
Okay, go ahead and introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and then help the committee with the question, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Kim Gardnerro. I serve as the Director of Finance in the Department of Administration. We are looking at licensing software products from vendors. The ongoing maintenance for those software products generally runs about 25% of whatever you pay for the license. We completed a business case for replacing Access and ACPay in 2007 that has detailed and I believe realistic cost estimates that go with that project, that very substantial IT project. And we estimate the ongoing license, the maintenance fees on the software once both all software replacement is operational to run between $15 and $20 million a year.
So we're looking at $15 and $20 million as an ongoing expense. And then in the budget document here, I'm not quite sure where that's built in 2011 and 2012.
Mr. Chairman, we didn't have that necessarily built in. It's an estimate. We do note it at the end of the explanation. There's a schedule of activities, a sort of a chronology of the project, and then there's a statement at the end just indicating that current estimates are that it would, between 18 and 22% of the purchase price of software would be necessary going forward. These are estimates, and we don't have hard numbers around these yet. But we did want to make this information clear to everybody as we go through the process that there is this cost that would likely be incurred as we go forward.
Do we have any other questions from the committee members on Senator Thomas?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The system was designed by who?
Senator Thomas, through the chair, the replacement systems are far from being selected. We plan to begin the procurement process in late 2009. It will be designed, our requirements will be documented by state stakeholders, and that's what we will procure for.
I'm sorry, it'll be designed by our, you're gonna have a software outfit do it, or is this something that you?
No.
No, you can just design it yourselves, pretty much?
Senator Thomas, through the chair, our goal would be to purchase off-the-shelf software rather than design and build. We think that is in the state's interest long-term. That's what every state's doing nowadays. Back in the 80s, when Access was built, states were building systems, designing them, and coding them themselves in COBOL, and that's what we're still running is our legacy COBOL system. Most states have moved from that to an off-the-shelf product, such as PeopleSoft, SAP, then there's a range of tier two.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I just have a question on the master lease line of credit. What other departments are using it, or is this something that is just special to the Department of Administration?
Through the chair, Senator Olson, I don't have a list of other departments that are using it, but I don't believe it's entirely unique to the Department of Administration. I think there have been either appropriations made to other agencies in the past. I believe probably a small number, but I believe there were a few. And then I know there were instances where agencies were using the line of credit, not necessarily from a direct appropriation, but using it as part of their operations. I could do some research and get back to you with a list of prior appropriations, but I just don't have that information.
Mr. Chairman, I'm concerned that we're going from $50 million from AHCC to receipts to $76 million. I'm concerned that when it comes time to go ahead and cough up the money, that funds might not be there. So that's just my concern, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, the master line of credit is littered in several places within the budget presentations this year. And basically moves a cash flow call from FY10 and pushes it forward into the operating budget. So we need to take a look at that that issue. And then also the ongoing maintenance fees or what have you, roughly 20% or 18%, whatever it is, going forward on this. Senator Hoffman.
Not only does it push forward the expense in the future, but in order to complete this in 2013, 14, and 15, you're requesting another $86 million. That's going to put an additional burden upon the state budget at that point, and I guess that gives me some concern.
Yeah, just as I just got a little reminder here that the state does have a standing $50 million line of credit, but this, don't confuse that with what's being asked of us. These are separate issues. So this is above the normal operating procedures that we've done in the past. There is quite a future call on this. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, I guess, Mr. Chairman, my concern is when I start reading the outline of this, the term debt keeps cropping up. And I think about where we are on the national scene, the term debt keeps cropping up. And this is just another debt. So with that as a backdrop, what is the effect of when we're in deficit spending if we defer this till we get in a more appropriate position as far as the revenue flow?
Senator Huggins, through the chair, are you proposing deferring the replacement of the accounting and payroll systems?
Any part of it that makes $76 million.
It's my belief that it is critical that the state begin that replacement process as soon as we can so that we have the luxury of doing it in a relative state of calm and with enough time to have functioning accounting and payroll systems before our current systems fail.
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that concept, but it's one thing to have a system and us be laying employees off is my concern. So all these people you have in your data bank that you're trying to account for their payroll, they're off the payroll because we can't afford them. I mean, that may sound like a rather harsh statement and, you know, a negative perspective going forward, future, but I mean, look at where the feds are right now. So I would ask us to be mindful of the fact that it's a large amount of money and it's all deficit spending.
Any other, Senator Thomas, did you have any other questions?
No, that was good. Thank you, though.
Yes, Senator Hoffman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The question that I have is that you've bumped up the time schedule. The original request was to ask for $72 million over 2010, 11, and 12, and now you're asking for 76 in 2010. Is there some critical reason that was made for upping the time frame?
Senator Hoffman, through the chair, our business case does estimate outlays by year. The first year is a big hit because of the license fees that are required to bring the software in and begin the implementation process. The implementation process is a multi-year activity.
So the answer is it cannot be spread out on the time frame that was originally requested.
What time frame?
The original request was for $50 million in 2010 versus 76, and then in 2011 there was 10 million, in 2012 it was 12 million, and now you've eliminated those and compacted it into the first year.
Senator Hoffman, I believe that was it was sized to optimize the debt placement. The
My question is, will the original proposed time frame still work?
I believe it will, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions on item number one? We'll go on now to item number two, page 5 of the booklet.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next item is reference number 47047. This is the State of Alaska Telecommunications System Critical Tower Repair, Upgrade, and Maintenance. We're requesting funding here to provide for deferred maintenance of the State of Alaska Telecommunications System of often referred to as SATs. The SAT system is at a constant risk of failure and requires focus on critical system upgrades and repairs, work identified by preventative maintenance inspections, and completion of FCC-mandated upgrades. And Mr. Chairman, I have Jim Kohler here from the Enterprise Technology Services Division to help me answer any detailed questions the committee may have.
Okay, we'll go to the next item.
The next item, Mr. Chairman, is reference number 47053, the Alaska Public Offices Commission online system project. We're requesting funding to work to complete the web-based application for the state of Alaska to administer Alaska's disclosure laws and to publish financial information regarding the activities of election campaigns, public officials, lobbyists, and lobbyist employers. The Public Offices Commission, as you know, Mr. Chairman, administers Alaska's disclosure laws, and currently management of the data that they have and collect is done both manually and electronically. We're trying to move this to an entirely electronic environment.
Next item.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next item is reference number AMD 47041, Network Communications and Connectivity Upgrades. We are requesting here $1.3 million to provide necessary enhancements and equipment upgrades to the State of Alaska network, the data center, and the aforementioned SATS telecommunications systems. This will enable us to provide for 24/7 service and equipment monitoring, which we believe is important for this network. Okay. Mr. Chairman, our next project is reference number 4.
On the last one.
Senator Hoffman.
I see this was not requested in prior years, but over the next 5 years, you plan on requesting total of $7.8 million. The question that I have is, if this is funded the first year, will it be required for us, would this be a commitment to for us to spend the remaining subsequent years?
Through the chair, Senator Hoffman, I'm going to ask Mr. Kohler to come up and help me with this. My initial thought is, I don't know that it will commit us to that, but I think that it's likely that we would be looking at recommendations for funding at or near these levels as we go forward. Whether it would be absolutely required, I think that's something we'd have to continue to evaluate.
Okay. You can come forward.
Mr. Chairman, our next project is... I'm sorry.
If you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and then help Senator Hoffman with this question, please.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, my name is Jim Kohler. Last name is spelled K-O-H-L-E-R, Deputy Director, Enterprise Technology Services with the Department of Administration. This particular project is one of several projects that we are looking forward to and anticipating as we continue to upgrade our entire network and connectivity scheme. This particular project is a single piece of or a portion of a multiple ongoing project effort. This particular project would be a single one-term project that would allow us, both with hardware and software and some service contracting, to collapse all of our network monitoring equipment, which right now is actually scattered across several sites, and in some sites we do not have 24/7 monitoring capabilities in the first place. It would allow us to collapse that into a single point, so that at any point in time we did have full 24/7 monitoring on our network, on our equipment. The advantage to that is that oftentimes under that scenario, as you watch your equipment, you can anticipate difficulties and problems and proactively go out and try to resolve issues before you have an outage situation that obviously interrupts the system completely disrupts the connectivity. So this is not a multi-year project, but it's one of several projects that we are anticipating across the next several years.
So
Senator Hoffman.
So your answer is that if we fund the 1.3 million, there is no requirement for us to fund subsequent years?
For this particular project description and effort to collapse and to create a single 24/7 monitoring facility, that is correct, Senator.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman.
Sometimes yes and no works pretty efficient. Senator Olson.
As you look at the timeline going out to 2015, are you saying that in 2016 there's not going to be another request for another $1 million? And if that's the case, then why doesn't it go into the operating budget?
Through the chair, if I may. Right. Senator Olson. To reasonably project out beyond 2015, in terms of actually suggesting significant dollars, becomes one of providing such swag estimates that they probably really don't have much reality to them. The network system itself really is two beasts. One beast is all of the effort that you have to engage in simply to keep it running. There are hard costs from pieces of equipment that you're providing maintenance on, soft costs with licenses, people costs, leasing or circuit costs, etc. On the capital side, as you upgrade your system, because demand on the network itself continues to escalate, the more digital capability and the transfer of that capability that people begin using and have been using, the demand continues to grow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. That's
all. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Senator Hoffman, excuse me, Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What role does ALMR play in this system?
Through the chair, if I may. Senator, excellent question. The ALMR project, the Alaska Land Mobile Radio Project, has historically often been confused with the state of Alaska telecommunications system. The ALMR system is an array of equipment that sits on the network, sits on the SAT system and uses it. The SAT system is the network outside of the fiber connectivity between Juneau and Anchorage, some microwave leasing in southeast Alaska. But outside of that area, all of the network connectivity that connects whatever you sit down and when you're sitting in front of your personal computer or a laptop, across state agencies, it is the network that connects all those signals, carries the emails, carries the data, etc. The ALMR system uses that network to be able to connect all of its various sites. So ALMR is a project that uses that network, as does the balance of the state's IT and data management systems.
Right. So your item 47047, the telecommunications system, which is for $3 million, is part of that integration process. Is that correct?
It is a part of the basic SATS network system for the physical upgrades, that are required to keep that system or to bring that system beyond its current break fix maintenance capabilities.
Right. So
that would be there regardless if the ALMR system existed or not.
Right. For communities that for one reason or another have opted out of ALMR, does this do anything to integrate whatever system they have for compatibility?
Through the chair, if I may, Senator, give me 5 seconds to make sure that I'm answering your question
Anchorage.
Directly
Anchorage.
As best
Anchorage.
As I can here.
Anchorage doesn't have ALMR, right?
Well, Anchorage, excuse me, through the chair, Senator, Anchorage has built its own 700 meg emergency radio system.
Right.
But it was built in a way and engineered in a way and coordinated with the ALMR project. So those two systems are completely interoperable communication-wise. So that an emergency provider from Fairbanks could go to Fairbanks, that radio would still have its connectivity. So those two systems, although built separately, have full interoperability.
Right. Which brings me to user fees. Anchorage has a user fee. Who pays the user fee in Anchorage? Do you know the answer to that?
I do not know the specific answer to that question for Anchorage.
Or other areas that have ALMR, who pays the user fee?
Through the chair, if I can. Senator Huggins, the ALMR project is a project that has been built and will be maintained in a consortium manner. There are four primary partners that have been a part of that project from the beginning: State of Alaska, the Department of Defense, all the federal agencies in Alaska that are not part of the Department of Defense, and municipalities. At the point in time within the last 12 months when we have finally been able to project with specificity and have been able to now go into the operation and maintenance phase of the ALMR project, those partners worked through across about 9 months to try and come up with a consensus on how it is collectively they were going to share in those operating and maintenance costs. And ultimately, the consensus decision at the end of August, September, most recent August and September, was that they would simply apportion all of the shared maintenance and operating costs equally on a per handset basis. So if you were using 10 handsets, you paid on a per handset basis that particular share across the 12,000 handsets that are out there.
So
at this point in time, that equates out to approximately $17.25 per handset per month per the number of users, handsets on the system across everybody.
And the communities are cooperating and paying that, and there's no questions?
Through the chair, if I may, at this point in time, the allocating and putting or paying for maintenance and operation from a user fee basis does not begin for the first time until July 1 in FY10. Up until now, the State of Alaska and the Department of Defense collectively have been paying the entire cost. So this user fee concept and this user fee system will begin for the first time in July 1. So it has not been collected in the past.
How much did the state pay in 08? We were paying the user fee with DOD.
Yeah, our combined contribution share in FY08, I'd have to go back and take a look at the hard number, because
just a round number.
Our total obligation that we brought to the table was approximately $1.8 million, and that was for the maintenance of equipment and the network itself. The Department of Defense was covering the entire cost of management operations, etc.
And starting in July, what do you see the state share being?
Well, our state share of state handsets would be approximately $1.8 million.
But does it change?
It would not change, and again, I'm rounding these numbers, you know, I appreciate that. But what we have presented as our plan for this first operating year is that we, the state, would cover the user cost for municipalities for the first year, because the allocation of fees and those shared costs were arrived at so late by the consortium that it would give the municipalities a year to start figuring out and to start planning for their full participation in paying their approximate estimate of about $440,000 of the total municipal share of those operating and maintenance.
So let's go ahead and have you get back with Senator Huggins on his further questions on this item. And we'll move on. And then Senator Huggins will let me know what the conclusions of those are to help me help with the committee deal with this item. How's that sound?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Our next project on the list is reference number 47054. This is the Alaska License and Vehicle Information Network replacement.
I think there's a deleted item.
I'm sorry?
The lease management system?
Oh, I'm sorry. There was we had in our original budget, Mr. Chairman, a lease management system that's been deleted in the amended budget. That's no longer included in our request.
So you want to tell us what it is?
I'm going to ask one of my experts from the Division of General Services to pop up here, Mr. Chairman. I haven't looked at this project in a bit because we did delete it from our list. We were looking at putting together a computerized system that would help us to manage our lease, our office lease, and our public facility office portfolio. I think we have figured out a way where we can work with another project that the Enterprise Technology Services Division is looking at, where we might be able to partner with them to get this accomplished without the funding that we'd originally contemplating for the project, and so we have withdrawn it at this point.
Okay. We're going to page 13, I guess.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, project 13 is the Alaska License and Vehicle Information Network replacement. This is the DMV mainframe system that we maintain, currently referred to sometimes as ALVIN. Mr. Chairman, this entire system is out of date. It's over 30 years old and is becoming increasingly difficult for us to support and maintain. You may recall we requested $2.5 million last year. This $5 million would continue that project funding. We also have in our plan another likely request in FY 2011 of $2.5 million for a total cost of the project, Mr. Chairman, of $10 million. To get this system entirely replaced.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, our next project is our digital driver's license printers. It's number handwritten number 15. It's reference number 47055. We purchased digital driver's license printers in 2003 when we unveiled our digital driver's license system. The printers today are 6 years old and are failing at an increasing rate, and so we've determined that replacements are needed here. There are approximately 60 printers in our offices at an estimated cost of about $7,500 per printer. So this request would enable us to replace all of our digital photographic printers.
Okay. Next item.
Next project, Mr. Chairman, is reference number 47052. This is the combined retirement system upgrade. We're requesting funding here of $350,000. It's various retirement benefits fund sources, PERS, TERS, health insurance funding, which is needed for us to continue to upgrade our combined retirement system. Enhancements for FY 2010 include providing additional information to retirees over the web. This is especially important for us, Mr. Chairman, as our retiree population grows. If we're able to provide information over the web, it lessens the impact of calls that come into our offices, and so we can better, we think, constrain the growth of staff for the, through this these means. Mr. Chairman, our next project is our facilities deferred maintenance.
Let's, before you go into your last one, let's hit page 19.
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. Yes, we had, in our original budget, we had requested $250,000 of general fund for what we refer to as our non-public building fund facilities. They include the State Museum here in Juneau, also the governor's residence, and I believe the third floor of this building is included in that group. There's also a small archives building that's located down below the state office building that's included in that group. And Mr. Chairman, we determined that we could withdraw funding for FY10 be able to continue to deal with our deferred maintenance in those facilities with prior year funding. We think that we can maintain a fairly aggressive schedule of dealing with deferred maintenance, but we do have enough money at this point from our prior year appropriations to see us through FY 2010. It's likely, Mr. Chairman, that we'll be looking at a recommendation of a similar request as was withdrawn from the 10 budget when we start looking at our FY11 budget. That's our thinking at this point, but we think we can get through this next year without additional funding.
So dealing with the governor's house on the second page, there's a couple on the first page. Walking path, replace the fence, add the DDC system, upgrade the heating, replace the retaining walls, resurface the driveway. Why would we want to delete that stuff? Why wouldn't we want to enhance that structure to encourage the governor to stay in Juneau?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to ask my division expert to come up and join me. Ramon Henderson from the Division of General Services is here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Ramon Henderson. I'm the Deputy Director for the Division of General Services, Department of Administration. The items, I don't have the list in front of me, and I don't know if you could tell me what the total is. I think that what Mr. Swanson said earlier was that we intend to fund a number of projects that we had in our original request with funds that are left over from prior years. So I don't know if those projects were deleted or if we found alternative funding for those. But if they were part of the original $250,000 request, then we will be using prior fundings to do those projects.
Okay, there's the total list is $2.5 million, and it was partial funding of that list of $250,000, eighth of it. So maybe you can get back to the committee on what funds are available. Left over from previous years, and how far down this list those funds could go, and if the Mr. committee will consider if they want to add more funds or not.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, we'll do that.
In particular, maybe when you group them, I see there's some issues with the museum, and there's quite a few issues with the governor's mansion. And if you could group those together so we can make sure that as we go forward, we have an attractive and comfortable and a governor's mansion we can be proud of to ensure the comfortable stay of our governor.
We'll be happy to get back to you with information, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
We'll go on to the next item.
Mr. Chairman, I believe the next project on our list is reference number 47058. It's, I believe, page 21 on your in the book. Facilities deferred maintenance. This is our second group of facilities that we maintain in the Department of Administration. Facilities in this group are the State Office Building, the Alaska Office Building, the Court Plaza, the Diamond Courthouse right across the street here. We also have the Atwood Building, a garage in Anchorage, the Fairbanks Regional Office Building is included in this group, and I believe the new Palmer State Office Building is included there as well. And Mr. Chairman, as you're probably aware, this is an annual request that we have to provide deferred maintenance on these facilities. This funding is collected through our public building fund occupancy rates through depreciation, so that we have funding available each year to address a large list of deferred maintenance needs. One of the things I do like to point out on this, these requests, Mr. Chairman, is we do a snapshot when we provide or put the request forward of what our priorities are. I'm constantly reminded from our folks in general services that those lists, those priorities do change. Things may occur that will cause, for example, if a boiler fails or a roof starts leaking, that's going to come up higher on the list, may cause some of the other projects to be moved around. It's a large group of projects that are actively managed by our facilities folks, and so there are changes there. And with that, Mr. Chairman, I would be happy to try to answer any questions you might have about this.
Yeah, I notice your list is 80 million and your request is 2.8.
Mr. Chairman, for the last several years, we have just put the universe of projects that we're aware of, just to give a sense of what we're looking at. And again, that's it's a dynamic list. It changes frequently, but it's just to provide a total sort of an order of magnitude of what we have, what we're looking at with these facilities. One of the things we try to look at too, as we make our annual requests, is what capacity we have to reasonably get work done, trying not to bite off more than we can chew necessarily.
As far as the revenue stream or chew, as far as the ability to do the repairs?
Well, I'm thinking primarily, of our, Mr. Chairman, of our ability to do the repairs, but there's probably some of both in that equation.
So if our ability to do the repairs is only 2.8 to 3 million a year and we have 80 million to do, will we ever get it done?
Go ahead, if you.
Well, through the, Mr. Chair, will we ever get to the entire list? I guess that would depend on funding. And as Eric mentioned, priorities do change depending on environmental conditions. So this list is an evolving list. But this list could be 100 million next year if other projects come up, or it could be less, depending on what we've accomplished. But will we ever get through it? Also, a lot depends on staffing as well as being able to complete the projects, going through the process, RFP, and actual construction. Many of these projects are multi-year projects. So will they ever be completed? I can't honestly say that they'll ever be completed. There always, I suspect, will always be a list of things to do.
Well, hopefully a revolving list as we consume it. If we could back up just for a minute back on the mansion while we have you here. I'd like you, when you take a look at that, the previous request on the maintenance, to take a look at and respond to a broader scope on repair and maintenance of the mansion. The mansion, my understanding, is lately used. And if we're going to do any major renovation on it, this may be the time to do it. We certainly don't want to get up someday and find the mansion in such a state that the governor's in a ETCO trailer in town. So we want to take care of that building.
Okay, Mr. Chair. I'm happy to do that.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, we also have two projects that are actually in the Office of the Governor section of the bill. I don't know if you would prefer for me to go through those now or wait and come back when.
No, why don't you just go ahead and do that now, and then we'll go on to Veterans and Military and Veteran Affairs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Then the first project that we have in that section of the bill is reference number 47040. This is the Department of Administration Enterprise Security Projects. We're requesting funding here to provide several security projects, including continued enhancements to what we refer to as our DMZ or demilitarized zone, as well as auditing and compliance, email discovery, and privacy and server consolidation for disaster recovery. And again, Mr. Chairman, if you have questions, I'd like to ask Jim Kohler to rejoin me to help me answer questions on this project.
So if there's questions first.
If you have questions.
Okay, go ahead and go to the next item.
If not, Mr. Chairman, then the last project that we have on our list, also in the section of the bill with the Office of the Governor, is project number 47051. This is the document management system, microfilm conversion phase one. We have, we are requesting funding to provide for the migration of the Division of Retirement and Benefits microfilm documents. Those are currently existing on 16 millimeter silver negatives on 100-foot-long microfilm rolls, and we're wanting to digitize this information so that we can preserve it in perpetuity. Some of these images are starting to actually fade on the old media, so we're concerned that we don't want to lose any data and want to be able to move forward with this project. In addition to providing for a more permanent storage, Mr. Chairman, this new system will provide much improved search capabilities, which again will infuse some efficiencies in our operation where we have to go back and look at these records.
Okay. Well, thank you for your presentation today.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
And we're going to go on. We're going to take a brief at ease while we flip our binders around, and then we'll go on to Military and Veterans Affairs and just very shortly. We're at ease. To go ahead and welcome General Campbell to the table. He's been here several times. If you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and go ahead and walk through your request.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. My name is Craig Campbell. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Military and Veterans Affairs and the Adjutant General for the Alaska National Guard here in the state of Alaska. And with me, I have Mrs. Susan Culligan. She is my Division Director for the Division of Administrative Services, which works on our budget. And we'd be glad to go over our issues for the capital budget for this year. At the top of the list, you see Army Guard facilities projects. We're asking for $1.7 million of federal authority to spend, plus an additional $750,000 for state general funds. That's the state-required match to receive federal funds under facilities. It takes 25% state match. This is a traditional request we put in every year. The dollars are somewhat adjusted each year based on what we expect the federal dollars to be available. What we do with this money is a plethora of maintenance operations and construction operations for Army Guard facilities around the state. Examples are last year we put in some new floorings here in Juneau and out at the aviation facilities for our helicopters. We usually target 3 to 4 rural armories for renovations and additions. We've been putting a program in place the last few years of adding Connex security vans at rural facilities where we could put the four-wheelers and snowmobilers to storm so they're not outdoors. So this year we're continuing that program with the request for a $1,750,000 federal receipt authority and $750,000 of general funds from the state. Second item on our list is the Interior Alaska Veterans Cemetery Design and Planning Project. We are advising that we would ask that to be deleted from the governor's budget. That has gone through a number of variations in the last few months as to how much money would be required. Initially, it was thought to be $1 million of state money for design and planning for that project. Revised number was $750,000. It's tied to the application to have the state build a state veteran cemetery, and we've identified Interior Alaska as the ideal place that meets the federal rules. We have a national cemetery here down in southeastern Sitka. We have another one in Anchorage at Fort Richardson, Fairbanks, and the interior area is the one that has the veterans population. It would clearly support a veteran cemetery. The VA will not build another national cemetery here, so it comes down to, would the state build a veteran cemetery with the VA supporting it? The VA support is they will construct it after the state has done the design planning for it, site selection for it, and after it's done, then the state will pick up the operating costs of that cemetery. We are in the process of putting in the application. Jerry Beal just got back from Washington about 2 weeks ago, having reviewed that application with the veterans in organization. We are going to be submitting that application. We would like to delete this year because of the capital budget request of the governor trying to restrain our expenditures and then come back in next year. And it will either be that is still being debated within the administration, the full $750,000 request or increments of $250,000 over 3 years. The caveat I want you to be aware of is that we cannot formally move forward in the federal selection process for validation until we have the full $750,000 already appropriated by the state of Alaska. But at this time, because of the budget situation Alaska is facing, we are asking that to be deleted.
Senator Huggins, there's a bill at the committee dealing with this, and I was wondering what your thoughts are.
Right. What? General Campbell, correct me if I'm wrong, but the bill that we're doing at this point in time would not have a fiscal note because it's in the out years, and you will have that go into the capital budget for the $750,000 at a later date.
Through the chair to Senator Huggins, yes, the operating cost, the bill authorizing and the bill that would give the sustained operation of the cemetery is a separate issue. We do not need the bill to put in the application and apply for the capital budget. We simply need the $750,000. The bill we're talking about will provide the perpetuity of the operation, of the construction operation of the cemetery in the future.
Okay, so we don't need the legislation to move forward. At just some point, we need an appropriation to the capital budget for construction and then ongoing operating account. That is not correct?
No, but I'll let General Campbell.
I was going to defer to you, Senator Huggins. No, through the chair, we do not need the bill for the appropriation of capital money to construct the cemetery. For the state to go forward with a state cemetery, the administration supports legislation that would encompass that in law as to what the state's role is in a state cemetery to be worked in the future. So the bill can move forward, but it's not incumbent upon us to have the bill to get the appropriations for the design and planning of that cemetery.
Okay.
Right, and just to add to that, the bill has a couple of elements, one of which is to take a consolidation of some funding as we move forward. But it's my feeling, having worked on this sometime and talking to General Campbell, that doing the bill enhances the project robust visibility and all those sorts of things, and certainly creates a sense of calm in Fairbanks, for lack of a better term.
Mr. Chairman, the next item is the Military Youth Academy Deferred Maintenance and Renewal Replacement. This has been a continuing program for the past 2 years. You have, in the past number of years, appropriated $1 million for us to do renovation. Very quickly on it, you'll remember that it is located in Anchorage at Old Campton Alley on Fort Richardson. The law was that when you start a youth academy, you can't build new facilities. You must take old excess federal facilities and use it. That usually means there's a lot of work to do to upkeep them. The $1 million we're asking for now is to renovate the kitchen, to continue improving the shower areas, the latrine areas, and some of the health safety areas for the cadets that go through the Youth Academy. I will tell you that in the last few years, the money that you have invested has been exceptionally well spent. That's why you're having the largest classes graduate now. The last four classes have been the largest in the history of the state of Alaska. We're doing exceptionally well in the computer and skills area, the education area. This may be, my expectation is this will be the last year I'll be asking you for this capital improvement, because this will round out the final construction or reconstruction and renovation of the old facilities. So I would ask that you continue with that with $1 million in state general fund. Next item, Mr. Chairman, is the National Guard Counter-Drug Support and Ropes Program. That program is a National Guard Counter-Drug Program that is done in support of law enforcement to reduce drug demand in the state of Alaska. A part of that program is the education of youth in Alaska. So we go to schools, we have programs at community events, we have equipment needs, and we also in the last couple of years added what we call the ROPES program, which is truly an obstacle course type day summer camp program for young adults that we do in the Anchorage area. So this year we are asking for authority to accept $100,000 from the federal government and $50,000 of state general fund for improvement to that program, the ROPES program and the demand reduction program, drug demand reduction program for the youth of Alaska. Next item, Mr. Chairman, is the State Homeland Security Grant Program. We're asking for authority to receive $9.5 million from the federal government into our Homeland Security division. That is an estimated cost, as I tell you every year. That is based on actually what the federal government allocates per states. The last, we peaked about 4 years ago at $19 million, went down to about $7.5 million. The last couple of years it's been approximately $9.5 million. Indications are from Washington that we'll get about $9.5 million this year. Of course, if we get more, we would come back to you for the approval to spend the excess if more were to come to the state of Alaska. And I actually say that because the states are working with the Obama administration to try to redefine the rules of how that money is allocated. The reason Alaska lost so much over the last few years is the rules changed much more to an urbanized direction. We're trying to approach the Obama administration from all 54 states and territories in the District of Columbia that we need to put a little more out in rural Alaska dealing, rural America dealing with infrastructure protection, not just urban protection. So there may be a change in the future, and if such happens, we'll come back to you with the reapproval request for the additional money. The last item is the compliance cleanup site restoration. We're asking for authority to receive $17 million from the federal government. This is an ongoing program in rural Alaska to go back and do environmental remediation and cleanup of contaminated sites around the state. This program will continue for a number of years to come. The military has been very active in Alaska for a long period of time. The Guard has been very active in Alaska at locations, some of which we no longer have active armories, but we still have the remains of when the military was in those communities. And so this program is receiving national recognition. We usually receive a number of awards each year for the amount of work we do and the quality of work done. It's funded by the federal government, but I do need your authority to receive that $17 million. And with that, closes out my request for capital for this year, sir.
On a lighter note, there's one request that missing, and that's potential need for back brace for all your new hardware on your shoulders.
Yes, sir.
Congratulate you.
Yes, sir. Well,
your advancement the last few years, and we would consider that if it was needed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and that's acknowledgement that all of the divisions, National Guard and our state divisions, have grown and changed tremendously in the last 5 years, and I appreciate that. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
With no other questions, we're done.
Okay, we're going to take a brief at ease, and we'll set up for the Department of Corrections. We're at ease. We'll start now with the Department of Corrections. They have 10 items. And if you can go ahead and introduce yourself and who you represent, and then go ahead and walk the committee through the items.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Leslie Houston. I'm the Director of the Department of Corrections, Director of Administrative Services. And accompanying me today is my Budget Chief, April Wilkerson. And starting at the top of the list with our first request for Goose Creek Correctional Center utility and energy construction costs. Due to the revenue shortfalls, our original request of $20 million was amended down to $6 million, and it was spread out over three fiscal years. The numbers in the subsequent fiscal years may be revised either upwards or downwards as we go along. The first request is to provide electrical and natural gas lines to the property itself to begin the construction.
The you just take a brief ad easier.
Yeah.
Let's go over it a little bit in more detail on the original $20 million request.
The department originally submitted the request for the full $20 million. This is an amount that represented the gap between the revised construction costs in the budget and the bond sales at the time. When we went out for the bond sales, unfortunately for us, it was at a time following the financial collapse that the interest rates were higher than we expected. And then the full 20 represented the gap between those two. So in an effort to downsize because of the revenue shortfalls the state is facing, we just decided to break it down into smaller pieces to go along with the phases of the construction.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
go ahead,
question. Yeah, help me out historically. I mean, I don't track this on a daily basis, but as I recall, the cost for this there was already appropriation for that about a year or so ago. I think it was $20 million, and it was vetoed that addressed this issue. But help me out on the history of that.
Okay, through the chair, and this is where due to my new tenure to the department, I will have to defer to my budget chief, who is my historical memory for the department.
If you can introduce yourself for the record and who you represent, and then help Senator Huggins with his question, please.
My name is April Wilkerson. I'm the budget manager for Department of Corrections, through the chair, Senator Huggins. I believe what you're referring to was the $20 million item that was vetoed for the debt reimbursement. I'm going to have to do a little more research and get back with you on that item.
Yeah, if you would, because my memory serves me just the opposite, that it was for the infrastructure enhancement or facilitation of the development. But anyway, if you would refresh our memory on that. And, Mr. Chairman, just one follow-up, if I might. What was the interest on the bonds for the project?
It's
a rather important number.
It is a very important number. I know that they were sold for $244 million.
I understand the interest rate.
Right. We'll get back with you on that number as
when
well.
Can you get back to the committee on that question, maybe give us a little more detail on the bond sale as far as how many tranches were issued and what kind of time frame, the dates they were issued. Market conditions 1 year previous and the market conditions today?
We will do that, Chairman.
And obviously the market conditions in which they were sold.
Thank you. No further questions on Goose Creek. We'll move to our second request, which is for the Fairbanks Correctional Center
Mr. Chairman, an editorial comment. Goose Creek is a typical project that when it lingers on the table, it starts to flounder, number one. The price goes up, number two, and then people become doubtful about the validity because everybody says we need it. It gets smaller and smaller and smaller. The price goes up, and everybody shakes their head and says, why did we ever get involved in this process? And that, I mean, quite frankly, it's shameful when this is part of the strategy to bring the prisoners home. And then now I think we're wavering on some of the rural components of this. That's shameful also. And I know you ladies didn't do this, but you're part of a process that led us to the point where we're still talking about building a prison and we aren't building one. So thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson.
I'm not sure I rented it, but I thought there was a facility there at Goose. Or maybe I think Goose Bay as opposed to Goose Creek.
Through the chair to Senator Olson, you may be thinking of Point McKenzie Correctional Center, which is our work farm, which is within a few miles of the proposed site.
There's a prison that's over there by the Goose Bay Airport, and it just so happened that when I did the reindeer thing out at Hagemeister Island, the place was, the facility was, had a nice fence there, obviously, and so we housed the reindeer there for a while. But is this the facility that you're talking about constructing or renovating?
Through the chair to Senator Olson, I'm not familiar with the area myself, having not been out there, but mm-hmm. I don't believe there is anything on the property that we're so breaking ground.
It's a different construction site, yeah, obviously.
If Mr. Chairman, if I might, I'm a little bit familiar, having gone there multiple times, it's in the district that Jody and I represent. The reindeer are gone, unfortunately.
Right.
Unfortunately, we spent a lot of money to do that, and they're gone. But it is the prison farm, and this is a different site. Okay. And it is, it's near Goose Bay, though.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions on item number one?
Nope.
Okay, and then you'll respond back fairly quickly to the committee on the bond issue. And if it's, I'm not quite sure how that interplays with the Department of Corrections and Revenue, but however that works out, we can put the, one of the two, you can put the information together and or jointly submit it, whatever it takes. Item number two.
Yes, item number two that we have is the Fairbanks Correctional Center space renovation and remodeling. The space, what had happened was we took the program space within the facility and converted it to a 38-bed dorm space to accommodate overcrowding situation. And this request is now to convert storage space to accommodate those parole officers, correctional officers, and the education programs that were displaced due to their space being turned to dorms.
Senator Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Is the rate, the it says right here, the excess in rate in excess of 50% at the Fairbanks Correctional Center, is that, are we unique in the interior, or is that kind of what's been happening statewide as far as either people entering the jails or being shipped outside or whatever happens? I mean, I'm just looking at the incidents of.
Through the chair to Senator Thomas, Fairbanks Correctional Center is one of our combined facilities where it serves as both a community jail and a prison. And those facilities that tend to offer both do tend to be overcrowded at times. And we do take, you know, creative approaches to how we can accommodate extra beds without completely upsetting the facility.
If I may.
Follow up?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The gym, the last time I was there, the gym had probably over 100 people in it, I think. And that was, you know, that was the gymnasium. That was not a lockup kind of situation, although it is behind locked doors and stuff, of course. But it just seems to me that there should be some attempt to try and mitigate that situation, if that is still, in fact, that's been months now. But I'm assuming it doesn't change because that had been in place for quite a while. So I wonder if you have any thoughts in mind of what happens to that facility in the future as far as an expansion.
Through the chair to Senator Thomas, I'm happy to report right now the gymnasium is clear and it is being used for recreational purposes. And there are some future expansion plans for that facility to hopefully just as a relief valve.
Great, thank you.
What are those future expansion plans? What is the time frame?
Through the chair to Senator.
I'm chair right now.
Hoffman. Okay, thank you. To Senator Hoffman. I'll defer to Ms. Wilkerson at this point. Thank you.
To the chair. Currently, there is a meeting in Anchorage being held with the management team to discuss and go over what the department's plans are for the rural areas and the expansions. And we would gladly get that information to you upon their completion of their meeting.
Well, the problem is that Bethel, you know, when we passed Senate Bill 65, there was already a plan, and that is still current legislation. And that is how we came about getting the Goose Creek facility, and the Fairbanks facility has been mentioned. But the number one priority for many years has been the Bethel expansion, and I don't see any requests here to address the overcrowding in the Yukon Kuskokwim Correctional Facility has been the facility that has been overcrowded the most, but ignored the most. And I was wondering what the department has for addressing the overcrowded situation that exists in the largest facility in rural Alaska. Why is it not receiving adequate attention from the department?
To the chair, currently Deputy Commissioner Peoples is in Anchorage meeting with the expansion team to develop a report that has been requested by the legislature, and I believe they hope to distribute that report to you next week.
So I assume for when that report comes out that we'll have a supplemental request for the budget, capital budget?
To the chair, not knowing what the results will be from that report, I can't answer that question.
Is that a possibility?
To the chair, yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Being absent for a couple minutes, did we finish up item number three or number two?
Two. Well,
number two, okay.
I've finished with my questions, not satisfied with the answers.
Okay. Well, you'll get back to the committee with responses
to the chair, yes.
Senator Hoffman's questions.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions on number two?
Well,
Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. Just another editorial comment. I apologize to the two ladies at the head of the table. But, you know, the most common theme about corrections these days is we're studying, we're going to report, but we never turn any dirt. And you know, the facilities and the concept and the cost just go in different directions. I think we're starting to embarrass ourselves in front of the average Alaskan because they ask a question. We say, don't know. We're waiting for a report. And at some point in time, we've got to turn some dirt. So, thank you.
The next item on our request is for the medical information system, and that's $1.5 million of PFD criminal funds. This is a multi-state consortium between Alaska, Utah, Idaho, and New Mexico. They are collaborating to develop, improve upon existing, and implement the medical module into the offender tracking information system. Currently, we have paper files. Our medical files have to travel with the inmate, and sometimes when that inmate is transported, the file gets lost. We don't lose the inmate, but the file does get lost at times. And this would be to bring our medical information online so that it's easily accessed at each facility through the system. And it will save a lot of time during the booking phase of a remand because it will have the medical conditions and past mental health issues at hand. And it's easily retrievable and an appropriate placement.
The fund source, PFD, I assume that's permanent fund dividend or?
Permanent fund dividend criminal fund, yes.
And have you adjusted the permanent fund dividend receipts for any impact of the decline in the dividend?
To the chair, yes, sir.
Okay. And then there was a statute passed last year dealing with our guests and our correction institutes that get permanent fund dividends that have back child support, that those dividends go to the funding of the children of those inmates. Is that what is happening with that, with those funds, or is these different funds, or how are they interrelated?
Well, to the chair, my understanding is that this year, due to the past growth of the permanent fund, that this was the year to use those funds. And there is a formula, and I'm not exactly sure how the Department of Revenue disperses that, the funds to the victims and to child enforcement.
And if you could get back to the committee on that, and I don't know that bill number, but it was just passed and signed last year, where the attempt was to direct those dividends to the children of the inmates, most of which are not in the high income family level. And I'd like a status report on that. Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, she had stated the past growth of the permanent fund. Do you mean the past growth of the permanent fund dividend? The permanent fund didn't grow.
To the chair, yes.
And is that growth including the $1,200 energy rebate?
Through the chair to Senator Hoffman, I'm uncertain of that, but when we do our research with the OMB and the Department of Revenue, we will ask that question.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Have any other questions? Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you look at the medical information system, obviously the concern has to do with, and at least for my district, we've had a number of deaths in the recent past. The most recent one has to do with the TB death that happened, I think, out of state. How will this improve that so that something like TB that's treatable, we don't result with a funeral that happened shortly thereafter?
Through the chair to Senator Olson, I believe this would assist in preventing, you know, such a thing, because it would be able to easily identify the past tuberculosis in an inmate, and that it would be something to be watched. And whether or not it could have prevented this particular death, I couldn't answer that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions on this item? Okay, we'll go on to item number four.
Item number four is our request for $2 million for the combined Highland Mountain Correctional Center lead abatement and buffer fence. We have an arrangement, a land swap of 7.5 state of Alaska land for 9 acres of municipality of Anchorage land for the Eagle River Recreation Trail System. This recreational trail system has been slowly encroaching on the state land, and we found that the swap was a good way to win-win for both. Approximately 2.5 acres of that land is an old firing range, the old academy firing range, and it has quite a bit of lead contamination in the soil, and we would need to abate that as we transfer that land to the municipality. That's for year one. And in year two, we would be adding a 300-foot clear zone perimeter fence, which is a national standard to keep the public away from the inside fence, and it protects basically both sides. Nothing can be thrown over a fence, and the public wouldn't get too close to the inside fence.
Next item.
Our next item is a request for an online electronic procurement system. Currently, the Department of Corrections has antiquated manual procurement process. We're looking at an off-the-shelf system, and it would be able to provide a pretty good savings in non-professional services through our purchasing our commodities. It has the capability of cataloging and supplier management, so it could do comparative analysis between vendors. It would assist in standardizing and compiling our orders so that we could place large bulk volume for a lower cost.
Okay, we'll go to the next item.
The next item is the annual facilities maintenance and repairs, $2.5 million general fund request. I think as everyone here knows, we have aging facilities. The majority are over 27 years old, and they are deteriorating from harsh weather and harsh environment that lives inside. The list that we have always maintained for our annual facility maintenance is a fluid list. It's a snapshot in time, and we're always addressing the most critical of the issues that rise that are due to life, safety, environment, utility infrastructure, security, and operational requirements.
Senator Hoffman.
Mr. Chairman, I would request that list.
Pardon me, I didn't hear you.
I would request that list.
Okay, yes.
I'm
the
sorry.
The maintenance list, bring forward to the committee.
Yes, sir.
There is always, when we deal with these, well, there's an interest in the magnitude of the list and what's on it, but then there's an interest in how fluid the list is. Sometimes things that would appear to be at the, you know, on the list one year may disappear the next, and I'm just speaking generally if we're dealing with DOT or we're dealing with maintenance lists, so that we're concerned about some consistency. Senator Hoffman.
And I would request that that list be prioritized.
Yes.
To the chair, we do have a list with us that we can leave with you today, and then we can get the current priority list to you by the end of today.
Yeah, you might as well wait till it's prioritized.
Okay.
So we make sure we're working on the correct list.
Thank you, sir.
And then we'll go on to the next item.
Our next item is for institutions and probation and parole equipment replacement. The items that we'll be replacing, for example, would be metal detectors, food service equipment, laundry facility equipment, and this is strictly to replace old obsolete capital equipment.
Okay, next item.
Our next item is inmate health care, medical, and dental equipment replacement. We are seeking $140,400 of the PFD criminal fund, and this is to replace essential medical and dental equipment in the institutions. That would include hospital beds for the medical segregation unit, EKG electrocardiogram machines, microscopes, and a dental chair.
Okay, any questions on that? Senator Hoffman.
It says it's statewide, so what facilities are we looking at statewide?
Second here, sir.
Is that all the facilities, all the correctional facilities?
Through the chair to Senator Hoffman, we have a list in our request that will be servicing Fairbanks Correctional Center, Spring Creek Correctional Center, and Anchorage Correctional Center.
Lemon Creek is all up to snuff and needs no upgrades.
To the chair, I'll defer to Ms. Wilkerson for last year's.
To the chair, that is correct. Lemon Creek received a dental chair in last year's capital budget, as well as some additional medical equipment through last year's.
And then in Western Alaska, what kind of facilities are out there?
Excuse me?
And Vermont.
I can provide a list of the facilities that received updated equipment through last year, and then this list was to provide the remaining facilities with the rest of the equipment needs.
Okay, that's fine. Okay. Any other questions before we finish up? Okay, thank you for coming in this morning and going through the list. We'll consider your request. We assume that they are in priority order.
To the chair, yes. We'll get all the information back to you, and thank you.
Okay. This afternoon, again, it's 2:30, which is a little later than normal. We'll have Department of Labor and the court system. Meeting adjourned.